Hidden Howie, the banker, will not be heard at this time, so that we may deal with the following.
This is Gordon Pepper, and apparently Doug Morris, by the way, fantastic stuff from Doug Morris, feels his inner boss, shall we say?
His inner boss.
Yes, you know, hidden boss.
I got you.
Stuff like that. But we have some people who are the boss, some people who are not really the boss, and Q, who thinks he's the boss, but he definitely isn't.
He got fired.
And we'll, yes, you're fired. But and a lot of stuff to go through. A ton. We have Jeopardy. We've got the upfronts. We've got new schedules. And we've got a super toilet, but we have the same shenanigans. So, Jay, please.
Yes, I will just say there is so much going on right now. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we're just thinking of, you know, we're just about ready to go, you know, for Memorial Day weekend, barbecues, baseball, the summertime hot weather, and we're already talking about football and the fall schedule. It's crazy!
But enough about what we're talking about tomorrow on the BS Big Show, Jay. I'm Chico Alexander.
Uh-huh.
Subtle point there. And
yes.
From somewhere in America, we love Twitter Up. The World Truck and Scheme Show podcast is on. Let's go!
Whee!
Welcome to episode 445 of the World's Strongest Game Show podcast here on 5-1 Studios. My name is Jason Block, strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy, and just making sure that everybody is all right. That includes my brothers from another mother, Chico Alexander and Gordon Pepper. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well. Hope you are.
I've got a tropical rainstorm here in New York. And speaking of the tropics, we're going to go... eventually, we're going to go to the end of Q's game, but before we do that, we're going to go to the end of season one of Deal or No Deal Island.
Oh, we're going to start there first. Okay. So, Chico, we had a to be continued.
We did have a to be continued. If you remember, Rob was in the maze racing against Stephanie to see who would get out the maze last. Rob got out the maze last, which means his game is over.
Even though based on everything, it was not nearly as close as what the editing was. Basically, the penalty killed him, and the ironic thing is that he had the highest briefcase, so he probably would have won the whole darn shooting match.
Yeah.
Because we had another elimination with the person with the lowest value, and then we had something really stupid. Really stupid in terms of figuring out who gets to go against the banker, which had absolutely nothing to do with anything that's been done before on Deal or No Deal Island. Chico, explain.
All right. So you are walking on a high wire to a golden case with ropes to support you. The first person who pulled the center red rope to grab the golden case will be the banker's ultimate opponent. The winner, Jordan, and the amount of the final case, 13,857,000. So if you play it right, you could go home with eight figures. Could.
And it was a possibility until said figure was wiped out in the fourth round. Wah, wah, wah. So what wound up happening is 6 cases left. Yeah, like that. We had 6 cases left. Two of them were 4 million and 5 million. The other four, much less than that. The offer was 1.2 million in change, which is what Jordan took, which is, of course, the biggest amount ever given in the history of Deal or No Deal, being that that's obviously more than a million, and obviously less than other shows given out. But congratulations to Jordan. Now the question becomes, did the right person win?
I don't care. because this game mechanics absolutely sucked. This was the biggest bunch of bait and switch moo-poo in the entire thing. We all knew that Howie Mandel was going to be the banker. Big deal. Okay. I am stunned that this is getting a season two. They said, we're going to give away over $200 million. And they gave away $1.2
False. False. They said the island was full of over $200 million. They never said anything about giving it away.
Well, the island was full of something, all right. I'm actually going to sort of agree with both of you. I think there are certain things they did very well. There are certain things they did very badly. The game structure needs an absolute gigantic overhaul. If you're going to make it so that anybody can play, make it so that anybody can play. Do not put in physical challenges. Put in mental challenges. Put in other things. If you're really for the season two, and I said this at the beginning of season one, and this didn't change, if you really want to add the mythos, bring back at least a couple of players that had a disastrous run, like a Brooke Leach, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Have them go after it. Yep. That, I think, as a fan of Deal or No Deal, that for me would be much more fulfilling than dragging people from different reality shows to play. You have a mythos of Deal or No Deal players. Bring them.
Yeah, and like I said, and I keep saying, and I will die on this hill, there is in this Frankenstein's monster of a show, there is a decent game somewhere in this Frankenstein's monster of a show. I mean, we just need to find things that actually work, amplify those, get rid of all the stupid stuff, and then try it again on season two, because you know this is coming back.
Well, it is coming back, and there's lots of things that we can do on it. We can revisit this on a new show on how to fix this, because I agree with you, Chico. There is a good game in here, but I also agree with Jay that not in its current form, there isn't. So we go from one island of moo-poo to another island of Q-poo. And okay. Jay, we have 30 seconds of Survivor with Jay, and then I will play counter. Jay, on you.
Okay, here's my 30 seconds of Survivor. Q looks for days. He finds the idol. Okay. The reward. Okay. Tribal council. He doesn't use the idol. Gets voided out. The end. Yeah. Same BS crappy play on Survivor. I put it to you this way. I couldn't care who wins. I'm done with all of them. Don't care.
I do care who wins, because I think there's a fantastic trio that's going on that all of a sudden now you're seeing in the form of Ben, Charlie, and Liz, who have been controlling the vote for a very long time. And now all of a sudden it's there. You can add Maria to it. If I'm Kenzie, I know I am in deep, big trouble at this point. But again, let's see. We can do a quick who will win Survivor if, or do we? Nah, actually, no, we'll save that till next. Do we save that till next week?
Next week is the finale and we're doing
We can do a who wins. We can do a who wins. We can do a who wins.
Let's do a quick who wins right now. By the way, Q, absolutely the right person to get rid of. He more than has outlived his purpose in the game. And you don't want him putzing around with an idol, especially near the end. So, yeah, this is where you get rid of him.
Okay. I will also comment on something else. The fact that Charlie, Ben, and Liz went on and Maria had a crying fit, that she was so upset with the letters from home. Maria, you played psychological warfare with your so-called playmates by making go rock, paper, scissors and beg for pizza. You deserved more of this, and you deserved every bit of karma you got. I'm sorry. I'm tired of this. Oh, I didn't deserve any of this. Of course you did. You deserved all of it.
Karma is on deserted. So,
I'm sorry. Yeah, but okay.
Yeah, so there's a song that was recorded by somebody other than JoJo Siwa that goes like that. But anyway,
right? Okay, go on.
Let's go with who wins if. If all Maria gets to the end, whoever is there with Maria will win. As Jay, as you pointed out, and you pointed out correctly, Maria is persona non grata with anybody. The only reason why you would keep Q around in this game, if you're anybody else, is the dream scenario for you is a trio with you, Q, and Maria. But in this case, it could be you, Q, and Kenzie, depending on how it fills out. I think if Charlie gets to the end, he wins. I think if Charlie gets to the end and really solidify it, he needs to get rid of Liz. Liz has been playing a fantastic social game. You need to be concerned about that.
That is
Maria's
true.
Maria's social game is down the toilet in the last couple of episodes. So.
Yes, agreed. Yeah. If you can play
Liz and Kenzie against each other, bonus.
Maria, yes. If I'm Ben or Charlie and I bring Maria with me, I probably win.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. Maria is now Q, if you can understand exactly what I'm saying.
I totally get that.
What should we do with a problem like Maria?
Very good. What shall we do with a problem like Maria?
That is both brilliant and disturbing at the same time.
No, that is right. But Maria is now the problem, okay? Because Ben right now, Ben, I don't think has a shot. Ben's been nothing. He's been invisible, really. Okay.
But sometimes it's good. If I'm Ben, I look at Maria and I go, ooh, I take you. And then I look at Kenzie and I go, ooh, I take you too.
Okay.
So Ben's got an outside shot, but Ben cannot be with Charlie and Liz.
No.
No.
If I'm Ben, I stay under the radar. I get rid of Maria. Well, I don't get rid of Maria. That's an easy $1 million ticket right there.
You get rid of Kenzie.
I get rid of Kenzie. Then I get rid of Liz. Then I get rid of Charlie, because I know if Charlie makes it to the finale.
Stop. Cease, desist. There will be a final three, because according to Liz, there's going to be two more eliminations, so you go from 5 to 3.
Okay.
Yeah, there's going to be one true tribal councils and a fire-making challenge, okay?
Correct. Two tribal councils, one of them will be a fire-making challenge, and then the final three get to go to jury.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. But I'm going to disagree with one thing here. I think whoever wins Survivor this season deserves it. You have really good gameplay, and credit the people for voting these people off with the idols and to giving them such a sense of safety that they can do it. So I know that you
what is this, like five times it's happened?
Five in a row.
Six. But so Jay, I would say yes, absolutely. Horrible playing by the people with the idols, but great playing by the people that have gotten rid of them.
Okay, excuse me. I won't disagree. I just think that I just can't understand if you have an idol in your pocket, why don't you play it? That's like six in a row. It just frustrates the hell out of me. It really does.
Well, it's sort of like, why don't you play it when you know that you're on the outside looking in? And that's where some of these people should have played it. Q definitely should have played it because he should have known that he was in trouble.
Right.
You know, and you know what? That is what it is. But speaking of trouble, we have people in the Jeopardy tournament of Masters tournament that are in trouble, as we get to see a little bit of a great divide here.
Yeah, we do. There we go.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy.
I will just preface this by saying, Madam Odio.
Moment of silence. Moment gone. Next.
Yep.
You can't make the finals with 1 point, my friends. So, going into Friday's match, Victoria has 9, Yogesh has 7, James has 5. Matt and Amy have 1, and Matea also has 1. So let's talk about game 1 with this final Jeopardy between Matt, Matea, and Amy, and the category, the 20th century. Here's your clue. Hearing about the speech that launched this eponymous process, the head of the CIA wondered if Khrushchev had been drunk.
I did not know this, but it's called, what is Stalinization? I did not know this at all. I had never heard of it.
Yep. Or de-Stalinization. Either or the other will work. Matt doubles up. Matea. This is.
I had an answer.
Oh, you had an answer? What was your answer?
Yes. What is the great Moscow horseshoe throwing contest?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
Not just about banging shoes anymore. It's about throwing them.
Okay.
Anyway.
Right. Second game features Victoria, Yogesh, and James.
Oh, by the way, who won that game?
Oh, yeah. Amy won that game, by the way.
Okay, so Amy gets... No. Who gets three, who gets one, who gets zero?
Amy gets three, Matt gets one, and Matea gets zero.
Okay.
So now we go to the second game with Victoria, Yogesh, and James, and going into the final, Victoria has 20,800, Yogesh has 18,400, and James has 18. Very close game this final. The category for the final, American Theater. Here's the clue. Director and author, then their 1960 riff over a new play set in the South ended the most important collaboration of 20th century U.S. theater.
Oh, man, I remember this because I watched it, but I don't remember the name. What was the
answer? Dionysus 69?
Good night, everybody. it was Tennessee Williams and Elia Kazan.
Okay.
By the way, if you haven't seen Dionysus 69, look it up.
Okay. Or don't.
Okay.
Yogesh won that one with 3,600. He gets 3 points. Victoria gets one. James gets nothing. And yeah, so much for the final boss of Jeopardy. He's playing like an entry level. Well, actually, no, he's not. I shouldn't be saying that. But anyway, here we go to Monday.
Is he Bebop or Rocksteady? That is the only thing you have to ask.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
I see what you did there. Teach Me Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game. Good play. Anyway, going into the final Jeopardy of the first game on Monday's show, Victoria is locked in with 46,000. James has 19,600. Matt is 2,200. And the final Jeopardy category is Around the World. Here's your clue. Almost twice the size of Texas, but with the population of Lubbock, this part of Australia rejected statehood in a 1998 referendum. I know this.
You do? So what was it?
Well, you tell me.
I thought it was the Northern Territory, I think.
It is the Northern Territory, Gordon.
I had, what is Outback New Jack City?
I thought you were going for Kali Minogistan myself, but okay.
Good night, everybody.
Well, no, that would be One Night in Danny Minogistan.
Oh, okay. All right, fine.
That sounds
dirty. Yeah, Kylie does have a sister who's starring.
As talented, Danny
Minogue, very talented.
Yeah. Who Do You Love Now featuring Reva is fantastic. All I Want to Do is fantastic. Anyway, moving on.
Okay. Second game before the final, Yogesh has 17,200. Amy has 9,800. Matea has 20,400. And the final Jeopardy category is anagrams. I love anagrams. Let's do this. One is a procedure foundational to computer science. The other was made in large part obsolete by computers.
Yeah, okay, once I heard this, I was like, bleep, I should have known that. What is a logarithm and algorithm?
Gordon?
What is floppy disk and hard drive?
That's not an anagram. That's terrible.
Yes,
sir. Okay, so going into tonight's game, your standings are, and these become important because this is the last round of qualifying tonight. Victoria has 13 points. Yogesh has 10. James has 6. Amy has 5. Matea has 5. And again, Matt, with just the one, we hardly knew you. So it's basically a fight for that third spot. And I believe there's also a fourth spot, too. But we'll get to there when we get to there. So, first match has Yogesh, James, and Matt, and going into the final, Yogesh has 10,200, James has 16,400, Matt has 12,400, and the final Jeopardy category, military people. In April 2020, Chief Master Sergeant Robert Toberman became the first enlisted member of this.
I got this. I knew this. Space Force! What is Space Force?
Gordon.
All right, I'm going to get all Doctor Who up in here on you.
I haven't seen the season premiere yet, so.
Well, no, we're going classic. Okay. Toberman was also the first person, the name of the first person converted by the Cybermen. So, not just Space Force, but what is the first human converted Cyberman on Cyberfleet? And for those that are interested in that, Tomb of the Cybermen. Second Doctor. First episode with Victoria Winters.
Yep. It's on the Doctor Who Classic channel on Pluto.
That's right. The more you know.
Okay.
But yes, it is Space Force. James clinches a semifinals berth. Matt has 1 point. One quality point. Yogesh has nothing. So now we go to the ladies of the evening.
Well, I did not see the finished of, so.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what happens right now. Victoria is locked in with 21,005. Amy has 7,800. Matea has 2,800. Going into this Final Jeopardy with the category short stories. Down. Steadily down it crept. Downward with its lateral velocity to the right, to the left, was in this 1842 tale.
I know this! What is The Pit and the Pendulum by Edgar Allan Poe?
Good for you!
Yes! Thank you! Wow!
You know,
okay.
I had two answers, one of which I'm absolutely not going to mention. For the
Good job! Right. Good job!
And the other one is, what is Jason Block's chances of getting on any other game show?
Oh, we have news about that, actually. We have news.
Do I have to hit the button, or am I going to wait until
Just finish this.
Okay, so nobody bet anything. Nobody got it right, but you have your final four. Matt leaves with 50,000. Matea leaves with 75,000. And that leaves Amy Schneider, Victoria Gross, Yoga Schrout, and James Holzhauer. So we have two chasers, one villain, and Amy Schneider, everybody's favorite author.
Who? Oh, so Matea is out. Okay. Okay. Now let's talk about this because, because we're still in Wheel of Champions mode on regular Jeopardy, yes?
Well, we're going to be talking about a Jeopardy champion next week.
Let us go to one of your favorite places, the Dominican Republic.
Yes, I love the Dominican Republic. I've been to La Romana. I've been to I've been to Punta Cana. But our teams this week are going to
Puerto Plata.
They're going from Bridgetown, Barbados to Puerto Plata. And they start at Imbert, where they get a roadblock. One team member has to navigate through a series of waterfalls, memorize the Taino petroglyph symbols, arrange them in chronological order, and to receive their next clue. Once you do that, you are going to head to Altamira, to Don Manuel's Finca de Cacao.
And then they had to harvest cacao pods and remove the seeds and cover a tarp with them in order to receive their next clue, which directed the teams to Estadio Bartolo Colon. Fat Boy Magic or something like that. Okay.
It's like, oh, God bless the Fat Boy home run. Anyway.
And speaking of which, he was involved in this next roadblock.
Well,
okay.
So what else was involved, Jay?
Okay. Take me out to the ball game. Baseball been very, very good to me. They had to go through some basic baseball drills, okay? They had to catch and toss a ground ball to first base, catch a fly ball in center field, and then play Vitia by hitting a bottle cap with a broomstick 25 feet in order to receive the clue from Bartolo Colon himself, which led to the pits to and find their next clue. They had to go to Paseo Dona Blanca and then the Anfiteatro de Puerto Plata, which is probably an amphitheater. And for the third leg in a row, Ricky and Cesar win, I believe, a trip to South Korea, Seoul. Okay.
Yep.
So they won a lot.
Where the baseball season began this year.
That's correct. And unfortunately, Yvonne and Melissa, who were stuck in fourth, led to fifth, and unfortunately, they've been eliminated. So your final four are Ricky and Cesar, Rod and Leticia, Juan and Shane, and Amber and Vinny. Who wins?
I gotta go with Ricky and Cesar.
I also have to go to Ricky.
So do I. I mean,
dominating.
I mean, it could. Could you call this season? And I hate to say this, boring.
No, yeah. Sometimes dominant is not boring.
Okay.
Well, it's always action packed to the Amazing Race. That's part of the allure of it. Is that there's always
But no team. I don't think any team has done this. Just, you know, first and second all the way. I don't think so.
Yep. Just as a review, Ricky and Cesar were first, three legs running and six legs overall out of nine.
Yes. Six out of nine. Right. That's correct.
I think it's going to be a very interesting finish, but it's Ricky and Cesar to lose, really.
And yeah, I agree. There's to lose, but we all know the equalizers they like to throw in at the end, and we haven't seen any major ones. So we could be seeing some.
Yet. Exactly. But let's get our chow on, as it's time for Restaurant Wars. Dun dun dun. Okay. Right. Okay.
This year's Restaurant Wars takes us to Discovery World Museum. Each team is responsible for developing a three-course menu, with each course offering at least two different options, decorating the restaurant, serving their dishes to the judges, and 75 guest diners. Of course, due to the odd number of competitors remaining, one team will have five members, the other will have four. So
yeah, and my original thought was, why would you be doing that during Restaurant Wars, until I realized, well, Dan's got a physical disadvantage over everybody else. So if they were stuck 4-4, you almost sort of need a fifth person.
Does he have a physical challenge? He's deaf, what? Right, I believe
no,
he's deaf.
He has a debilitating disease.
Ooh, okay. That's right. Okay,
I cannot pronounce it, so I'm not going to attempt to.
Okay.
But fortunately for him, Michelle, who wins the quickfire, has the option of going to either team. I'm sorry, not the quickfire, the elimination challenge. Has the option to go to either team, and she does pick Dan's team. And it sort of seems like they are the major firehouse. Firepower going into this one.
Yeah. All right.
He actually has Kennedy disease. That's what it's called. It's not. I just looked.
That's why I went for that. I didn't know exactly what it was called.
Yeah, it's a neuromuscular disorder. Yes.
Okay. So, on one side you have Kalina as executive chef, Laura's front of house, Manny and Sue, and their restaurant is Dos by Dewey. Their first course is a beef tartare, cilantro, green goddess, gochujang, rice cracker, and melon indigenous crab aguachile, pickled bamboo, and furikake tostada. Second course is rice cake, salsa verde, Chinese sausage, and pepla with a miso butter poached shrimp, kimchi jicama, and bok choy. The third course, beef tenderloin with mole negro, shimeji, mushrooms, and black garlic, or pork tenderloin a la taia, charred pineapple, black bean, and onion puree.
Now, over on channel side, Danny was the executive chef, and Michelle was front of the house. Kalina was executive chef, and Laura was front of the house.
I did say that.
Okay, I'm sorry. The first course was smoked walleye, labneh, and potato cake and harissa. Chawanmushi with scallop, maitake, and ukura. The second course was fried catfish with dirty rice cake, New England clam chowder with grilled carrots, Old Bay clams, and thyme, and a vegan gumbo zerb with green grilled mushrooms and kombu. And the third course is honey custard, jasmine tea, and citrus gelée, buckwheat crumble, Danny and Amanda, a maple cream mousse, blueberry, pistachio, and caramel.
That
dish was the best of the night, by the way.
As determined
by judges, Eric Williams, Itaru Nagano, Kwame Onwuachi, and Andrew Kroger.
And also Stephanie Azard, too.
Yep.
Kristen Kish. And yeah. So Dan won the whole thing, and Kalina from Dose by Duel goes to Last Chance Kitchen. And there's a restaurant war shakeup. And unfortunately, Kalina withdrew from Last Chance Kitchen. She said, I'm done. She says she couldn't take it anymore. She's prioritizing her mental health. And then Rasika... I'm sorry?
I get that.
And then Rasika gets another shot, and they had to make one savory and one sweet dish doing a restaurant concept, and Kevin's French Bistro defeated Rasika's South Indian. His French bistro was beef tenderloin, pomme puree, duxelle, vin jaune sauce, and hazelnuts, and roasted berries with basil oil, fleur de sel crumble, chantilly mascarpone, and vanilla tuile. And his South Indian was mangalore fish curry, string hopper, yuzu custard with Burberry spice frozen cashews. So Rasika is out again. But, you know, good for Kalina, really.
Yep.
Yeah, well, you know, the interesting thing is Last Chance Kitchen, Kalina has decided that she didn't want to play because of some sort of mental block that she currently has. So we get Kevin versus Rasika round two.
Yep.
A round which Kevin wins because they get to come up with their own little mini restaurant wars. Kevin had the superior dishes, so he gets to stick around. As for Rasika, who knows? She should have been out last episode. Maybe she'll be out this one, or maybe she'll get to cook again. We'll find out.
But
will either of them be the goat?
Now, okay. You know, Gordon, remember we were saying this is the flip of House of Villains? Remember we were talking about this?
Yeah.
We were saying that this was a flip. This is how House of Villains should have been done, okay? You get a bunch of D-list reality people with a guy, Daniel Tosh, who doesn't give an absolute rip about the show. He's there for the paycheck.
Yeah, tell us how you really feel, Jay.
No. This is good. This is I'm not saying this is bad. This is awesome. This is absolute crap in the best way possible. This is absolutely terrific.
This is that knows that's crap.
Yes, they're in on the joke.
This is self-referential. This is meta. This is. Hey, remember Reality Bites back on Comedy Central a few years ago?
This is better than that.
Yes, it is. It is better than that, because
it's like, you know, you have Daniel Tosh. You know, first of all, they're doing Survivor stuff. And he's there in a loincloth, and he's naked, you know, half naked. There's absolutely nothing serious about the show, and I love the fact that they went in that direction to do it. The contestants think they're being serious about it, but the fact is that...
Well, I'm going to cut you off right there. At the end of episode 3, some of the contestants are really serious about it, to the point that we have Llama Mama drama and threatening people to quit. By the way, they don't. So I agree with you on what I like. However, believe it or not, what I don't like is I don't think they push the envelope far enough. There are certain things that they really could have gone over the top on. And you're voting people out, really? You couldn't come up with anything better than that?
This show is about cliches, and voting people out is the biggest of them all.
It's about cliche. To me, it's just like one of those things where if you're going to do tropey, go all the way. Okay? And I think that's part of it.
Exactly, and I think that's part of their issue is that they know what they want to be. They're currently going through growing pains. I would and this may be blasphemy here, but I would actually watch this more than I would Deal or No Deal Island.
I agree. I agree. 100%.
I see where you're coming from.
There is, unlike Deal or No Deal Island, when we're like, well, there's a show, we don't know where it is. We do know where the show is. We do know that this has heart. And you just wonder in the back of your mind, you know, how do you strengthen the game up? Just a little couple of tweaks. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't need much.
No, it doesn't.
It does need to eliminate, to do another elimination besides vote you off. Even though I do like the fact that you had two teams fighting for elimination and then everybody on the losing team is up. So that was fun, but it still's got the voting part in it.
Right. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. But still, I love the fact that this is a – you're right. It's snarky for Amazon Prime. You're right. It's just, you know what it has the same problem as? And I'll give you an example. F-Boy Island.
Agreed. Agreed completely.
If you understand what I mean, F-Boy Island could have been the foulest game show on TV if they pushed the envelope enough. Okay, and they didn't do it. Because you're on Amazon Prime, you can't do it. But I don't know if there is a channel that has the guts or the cojones.
HBO Max.
There you go. Or
even Playboy or Max or Playboy or somewhere in there. You could have, and Jay is absolutely right, and that's a great analogy. The problem with F-Boy Island isn't the subject matter. It's that they didn't move it far enough.
Correct.
The ironic thing is, a show like that was on Max, but then the CW said, nope, we're going to take it, put it on our schedule. That really dumbed it down and tamed it a bit.
Yes, and
yeah,
the
I was
same
gonna
thing
say,
is,
it really, it not only dumps it down, it also sort of would point towards who would have the advantage and who wouldn't.
Right, but what I'm just saying is that The GOAT, which is a good show, could have been a great show if they pushed the contestants harder and made this a little bit more harsh. So to me, my grade is a B, which could have been an A. If this was okay, another show on Amazon Prime and Freevee, which is the same idea, Jury Duty, okay, which is a comedy show.
Jury Duty reminds me more of the Joe Schmo show,
right? But
in terms of that, but that's another show that really could have gone farther than where it did. GOAT for me feels like it's something that you really need to have a good blunt on to really enjoy all the nuances. It'll be B minus for me.
Okay, that's fair.
The show is much better than it has every right to be, but
yes,
this could have been a classic, and it's not.
Yeah. Yep.
This show is better than it has a right to be, I think.
Yeah, what's your grade?
It's a B. It's a B show. I like it. And
put it to you this way. Would I watch it if I had nothing better to do? Sure. Do I have to watch it? No, but I think that you will be entertained. So to speak. Chico, it is unwatchable.
It is not unwatchable. It is unnecessary, but that's not going to stop you from watching it.
Correct.
No.
Not at all. Let's see who wins the circle before we go into an early version of the business end, in a way.
Yeah. Okay. Miles is blocked by super secret influencer Olivia, or Brandon, as his mama would call him. Miles meets Corey Tyler, leaves a happy goodbye message. Final ranking time. Brandon, as Olivia, wins the circle. And it's official. Another season is coming.
Okay. Yippee. Okay.
You wanted brief? I gave you brief.
That's brief.
All okay.
Right, next.
Now here's something that's not as brief because...
I think the Concords are in order, aren't they?
Yes. We have a whole lot of upfront news to talk about. We're going to just get right into it with what happened late last week with CBS's turn as the upfront. And the first show we're going to talk about, well, we're going to talk about all the shows right now, actually. They're bringing back Survivor in 90-minute increments. They're also ordering a new show for 90 minutes called the summit. Now, we've already talked about it on this show, but it is Manu Bennett hosting 16 strangers embarking on a once-in-a-lifetime journey through the treacherous New Zealand Alps in an attempt to reach the peak of a distant towering mountain to win an equal share of $1 million.
Okay.
So that's on CBS, but that's on CBS Fall. CBS Wednesday night is game night with the return of The Price is Right at Night and Raid the Cage, and a reboot of Hollywood Squares with Drew Barrymore in the center square.
Oh, and by the way, to the number threes, STFU, the show hasn't even shot a minute of digitization and she's done already? Really? Okay, fine.
And then in the spring...
I don't understand that one at all.
Nobody with two brain cells to rub together understands that.
Okay.
And then in spring, we have Survivor returning for season 48 and The Amazing Race returning for season 37.
Which I'm assuming is filming now or will be filming shortly?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
and obviously, Survivor is Survivor. So, good stuff.
Very good stuff. So now we go from CBS to NBC, where we have The Voice returning for season 26 with two new coaches joining Reba McEntire and Gwen Stefani in the red chairs, Michael Bublé and Snoop Dogg.
Snoop could be... Okay, Snoop is a wild card. And I don't mean that to be funny. He could be very interesting and very entertaining if done right.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I would like to see, you know what? The show has always been about the coach interplay. This could be the best season for that.
Yes, but it's not about the talent, which is sad. But moving on.
And we also have a new season of Deal or No Deal Island. And mid-season, we have Destination X, which merges fantasy with reality in a larger-than-life adventure competition series where viewers will follow contestants as they embark on the road trip of a lifetime with no idea of their location. In order to win, they have to figure out where they are.
What? Isn't that kind of like Lost?
Yeah. Yeah, I was about to say Lost Online 1.
Yeah.
Even though with Lost, they not only have to figure out where they are, but figure out how to get back to civilization.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
which sounds much more intriguing than this, to be quite honest.
Meanwhile, over at Fox, we have a lot of stuff coming back.
This
fall, we have The Masked Singer coming back. We have season 2 of The Floor, which has been picked up for two new seasons. So we're going to have The Floor this fall. We might have The Floor this spring. Who knows? But we have two new seasons of The Floor, and they're bumping up the contestant count from 81 in season 1 to 100. So it's going to be like every other version.
Which is good. That's great. That's perfect, because first season was proof of concept, right?
Yep. First season showed that it worked and that the audience would react to it. Now they're going all in with it.
Yeah, I would I would think so. I would absolutely think so. And again, another good idea.
Yes. Thursday's new season of Hell's Kitchen and Special Forces World's Toughest Test. And coming in,
that's a show I'm very surprised it's successful, but I'm glad it is. Good for them.
Yeah. Mid-season on Fox, we have the return of Crime Scene Kitchen, Lego Masters, MasterChef, Name That Tune, Next Level Chef, and the premiere of Extracted. They gave few details about the show, and all they will say is, for the first time ever, the contestants are not in charge of their destiny.
Again?
That's all they're saying.
Okay.
There have been many shows where the contestant has not been in control of their destiny, so we shall see.
And now we go to ABC, where we have 8 unscripteds ordered for next season. Dancing with the Stars is on tap for fall Tuesdays. Wednesday, we have the Golden Bachelorette with Joan Vassos chosen as the lead there.
And we actually have a piece of mail on that, talking about that later. actually.
All right. And on Friday, we have the return of Shark Tank. Sunday, we have the return of America's Funniest Home Videos. And in mid-season, we have American Idol, The Bachelorette, Celebrity Jeopardy, and Celebrity Wheel of Fortune. Now, Prime Video, this is where it gets good.
Yes.
All right, so we have lined up in the game shows, we have Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity with Travis Kelce featuring Natasha Leggero, Nicole Byer, Nikki Glaser, Ron Funches, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Chad Ochocinco, Garcelle Bove, Lala Kent, Lily Singh, and Sophia Stallone.
Okay.
We have, of course, Beast Games with Mr. Beast promising one of the biggest prizes ever offered on television with one of the most contestants on any game show ever.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to see what he does with this. That's all.
Okay. The U.S. version of Buy It Now with J.B. Smoove hosting and budding entrepreneurs trying to win a place on the Buy It Now store featured on both Amazon.com and within the Prime app. It's based on a UK format. We, of course, have the 1% Club, which gets a preview next Thursday as we record this.
Mm-hmm.
Wishlist Games, a multi-episode holiday event.
I love that. Now, why the hell did they not do that sooner? Really?
I have no idea, but Nick Cannon's giving away $25,000. And then, Jason, I need your assurance that you are calm.
I am very calm.
Okay. Pop Culture Jeopardy.
Woo! I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Comes from Sony Pictures' game show division. Marks the first time that a Jeopardy series has been created for a streaming device. No! False! Wrong! Sorry! Flag on the play. 15 yards. Sports Jeopardy Online 1. Anyway, the show is going to launch in more than 240 countries and territories, a new twist on the classic game show that will focus on categories from alternative rock to the Avengers, Broadway to MMA, Gen Z to Zendaya. Contestants playing in teams of three will compete in the tournament-style event for the grand prize and ultimate bragging rights. No host has been named as of yet. React.
However, there is more details to this, okay? So the website has crashed basically because I can't get into it right now. I tried because there is an online test that one person who starts it and creates the team sends a link to somebody and the other two get to participate and you have to take a picture and send it. Oh, and by the way, Chico, here's the most important part. You and I are eligible.
Yeah!
Because any Jeopardy player who has competed can play. So, I think this is going to be a one-and-done sort of thing. I don't think there's going to be returning champions. Do you? I don't think so.
It's a tournament, but I think that's pretty much it. But, hey, it's Jeopardy.
Even better.
And Gordon, we have not had a good pop culture show since the excellent World Series of Pop Culture, also produced by Michael Davies, if I'm not mistaken. I think. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
You're correct, sir.
So yeah. So I'm hoping to see. I'm looking forward to this, and as soon as I can get the application in, I'm down. So
Same.
There you go.
Okay, and Netflix has lined up season 2 of Rhythm and Flow with DJ Khaled.
Another one.
Ludacris. And Lotto.
Okay.
And finally for Upfront Week, or at least what we have so far, Warner Brothers Discovery, Harry Potter Wizards of Baking is coming to Food Network with James and Oliver Phelps hosting.
Of course, you remember them as Fred and George Weasley.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you the advanced review of it. It's like every other Food Network baking competition, but with Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
And then CNN is bringing "Have I Got News for You" to the U.S. Of course, "Have I Got News for You," the long-running BBC panel game, having started in 1990, now we're getting a U.S. version.
I have a problem with this, and I'll tell you why I have.
I actually sort of have the same problem that I think that Jay has, but I'll go with the little sliver.
I may have the same problem we all have.
Well, it seems like what is old is new again, so to speak.
Right.
And it's not really a game show.
No, it's not. It's a panel show. But here's the problem. You have to skewer everybody when you get on If I Have News for You. Okay? You have to. And if you don't, it's going to be the same old, and I'm just going to say this the way I'm going to say this. You know, CNN is attacking Republicans, yada, yada, blah, blah. You have, and the thing is that I don't think CNN has the stones to make fun of Joe Biden or anybody else. I don't see it.
My problem is a little bit bigger than yours is, Jay. We're not playing a problem measuring contest, but my problem is a little bit bigger than yours.
Okay.
I mean, this is a brilliant idea, but it's also a terrible idea. It's a brilliant idea because I like British style panel shows. I really do. And I think if Have I Got News for You wherever it's brought to the U.S., it would work.
Right.
I don't believe it belongs on CNN though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what happens when you have like a breaking news story? We can't put a breaking news story. Have I Got News for You is on.
No. I believe the correct terminology is grasping.
Okay.
We'll try to find some straws from Chico to grasp onto when we're done with this. Anything else?
That's it. That's all we have up front wise, except for the CW, which has yet to present. And I don't think they are going to, because frankly, I don't think Nexstar has the money for it.
Okay, Gordon, what's your problem with the thing?
Believe it or not, it was pretty close to you. You know, it's not really a game show. It's a panel show. And the only way that this becomes relevant is if they change the format, which obviously you're sort of not going to do. So it's like, what are you going to do here? But again, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt until we see episode number one.
Agreed. But we need to see some news and more toilet issues. So we will be back momentarily, but Chico, send us to break.
Will do. With Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander. All the news that you didn't even know you needed to know is on the other side of this break. So stick and stay with 5-1. You're home, where we love to interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 different mashups with Indiana Jones or Doctor Who or whoever any game show title. For argument's sake, Indiana Jones and the Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Ooh, okay.
Indiana Jones and Deal or No Deal Island.
No, okay.
Indiana Jones and F-Boy Island.
Okay.
Doctor Who and Big Brother.
I was just about to say, I noticed you're not touching Doctor Who, but then again, that one episode from season one, right before
Doctor Who and Robot Wars.
But mm-hmm. Doctor Who and the Weakest Link.
That is true. That's something that they did a Doctor Who version of that. Anyway, we'll be back right after this.
email from school about the incident today.
Scary.
You know, teachers like me, parents, we don't always know as much as you guys do about what's going on with other kids.
Half the time, it's rumors.
Yeah, but if you're ever concerned about a friend who's having trouble with alcohol, prescription drugs, anything, you need to tell an adult, someone you know and trust. That can be hard, but speaking up about a problem is what helping a friend is all about.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Brain Vision is presented by Goat Milk, the only milk the goats drink. Just don't ask where it's from, because frankly, we don't know. And all things considered, I don't think we want to know.
No, we don't.
No, we don't. But what we do want to know is, where's the news? So I'll respond. Roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Hi, thank you so much, Doug Morris. As always, you can listen to Doug Morris on Rock 104's Rock Tracks. That's Rock 104's Rock Tracks every Sunday on WXRR Hattiesburg 104.5 in your FM dial. Don't forget to follow Doug Morris on all social media at Doug Morris Games, at Rock 104 Rock Tracks, and Tracks Productions, and listen to Rock Tracks all over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com, the Odyssey app, and the Rock 104 app.
Okay, so what we need to do is... Oh, my God. The bat looks like the big wheel. I hope you might have a copy of the theme, don't you? Thank you. Awesome. As of May 28th, which is National Game Show Day, according to Buzzer, they are bringing back, I believe, they are bringing back original episodes that have been remastered from from Fremantle of Bob Barker, The Price is Right. They're from the Barker era shows on Pluto, yes, I believe?
Correct. And they're airing on National Game Show Day, which is Tuesday, May 28th. And it's like, okay, these are episodes that have aired previously on The Price is Right, The Barker Era, but they're going to premiere on Buzzer in case you've yet to see them. So if you have to see them, hey, guess what? They're new to you. Good job.
Right, but and also I believe there are also going to be new episodes added to, and I think we could put this here, added to The Barker Era, which moves into season 14, which I believe moves into the Rod Roddy Era.
I believe we're going to see the announcer auditions before we choose Rod Roddy. It's going to be really fun. By the way.
It is definitely really fun. And what's also fun is May sweeps. And I know, Jay, you've got some date booking to talk about.
I don't have a date book. I have the date book Encyclopedia Britannica right now. Okay.
The date Britannica
here. Okay. Tomorrow, Thursday, is the spring premiere of I Can See Your Voice with Ken Jeong on Fox, and the season finale of Farmer Wants a Wife on Fox. Then, on Paramount Plus, we get RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars and All-Stars Untucked, both on Paramount Plus. That's the ninth season premieres on Paramount Plus.
And if everything that they're saying is true, I am really looking forward to it.
I hope it's back to season 7 format. We'll find out. Sunday is the season finales of American Idol, Who Cares, America's Funniest Home Videos. And then the season premiere of Chow House. Monday is the season finale of MasterChef Junior, We have a Price is Right, another jackpot special? Okay.
Yeah, we have three more jackpot episodes this season. Then we have the Superfan Junior episode. Those will be scheduled.
Are those part of the? Are these part of the summer episodes of them, or is this no?
Yes.
Okay. The season finale of So You See. I think it's the series finale of So You Think You Can Dance. Sadly.
I think it's done. Stick a fork in it.
And Racer Survive New Zealand. Bring your Tylenol and your Neosporin. And then Tuesday is the season finales of The Voice, Moonshiners, Master Distiller. And on Wednesday, we have the season finales of Family Feud, Survivor, Jeopardy Masters, Masked Singer, and the season premiere of Food Stars. But speaking of Gordon Ramsay's Food Stars... As if Gordon Ramsay was not busy enough, he is starting his own app called Byte. Okay. If you go to gobyte.com, it's a collaboration between Fox Entertainment and Gordon Ramsay itself. If you subscribe, according to the website itself, it says, Byte is a new food media brand for all food lovers, from the couch to the kitchen. We want to take your love of food to the next level by bringing you the biggest and most exciting names in food content you'll know and love, as well as the best in products and experiences. And there's a Byte digital network, including Idiot Sandwich, Gordon Ramsay, Food Club Fox, and Byte Originals. So, yeah.
This has the potential to be incredibly clever. And just an incredibly fun read. And this really can expand the Gordon Ramsay brand. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yes, I would definitely. That is incredibly smart.
Unbelievably smart.
Okay.
We have something that isn't, don't we?
Yeah, this is dumb, bordering on illegal.
That's dumb.
I say bordering on illegal because according to the AP, the Dutch artist expelled from Eurovision Song Contest likely to face charges. Joost Klein failed to perform at two dress rehearsals on Friday. And the European Broadcasting Union, which is in charge of Eurovision, says that the police were investigating a complaint by a female member of the production crew at the competition in the Swedish city of
Malmo.
Police spokesman Jimmy Moden told the AP their investigation into the incident was over. A decision of the charges should come, and now I'm quoting, within a few weeks. He did not elaborate on the nature of the threats that the Dutch performer is accused of making. And details...
But we'll guarantee you it's not good.
Yeah, of details of what happened backstage are unknown. That the police are taking this very seriously, and that they are keeping all of the information very close to the chest, suggests to me that whatever happened was big.
Pretty much. Honestly, I felt really, I didn't enjoy it at all. I didn't even watch it. It's just the politics and all of that just made it really hard to watch. I will just say that.
It did make it hard to watch, but there really, really, really was some good acts and some good music. And if you just avoid the politics of it, it really was fun this year.
Okay.
That being said, let's go global.
By the way.
No, we need some Haterade.
I was like, by the way, in case it ever comes up, Switzerland won this year.
Yes, it did. Okay. Yes, it did. But
it's a really weird song. But hey, that's the power of music.
Exactly. Time for some Haterade.
Haterade!
Okay.
And could I get a little bit of this?
Brains!
Jeremy Vine, the host of Eggheads, is suggesting that his show is dead.
Okay.
Scrambled, cracked, poached.
Very good.
Yeah, he has told The Sun that he hasn't heard anything about Eggheads for a while. I think, and this is him talking, I think I've done about 1,200 shows, but whether we are doing any more, I don't know. We last filmed an episode over a year ago. It may well be we are doing it in 30 years' time. Who knows? But no immediate plans for any more.
Okay.
That usually spells trouble.
That spells really trouble. So where are we sending? Where are we sending that Dutch dude and Jeremy Vine? I think we're going to Australia, aren't we?
We're sending them to London Down Under. Okay, so Survivor, aside from being big in America, is also big in Australia. They're entering their 10th season on the network in 2025. And to celebrate Network 10, which, by the way, is also owned by Paramount, and Endemol Shine Australia have a new theme planned for Season 10. Australia. Okay. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Australia versus USA.
Now, it would not be the first time you've seen American contestants in Australia. You've had Russell Hance there. You've had Sandra Gina Twine there. You've had Sandra's daughter Nina there. But it would be fun to see the best of America versus the best of Australia if they really collaborated and did something like that. That would be a lot of fun.
If they do it right.
Yep.
Well, that's always if they do it right. But Australia is known for doing it right. Now, the other big difference between Australia and America in terms of Survivor is the length of days. You know, the U.S.'s version went from 36 to around 26. Australia, on the other hand, goes the opposite direction. It's usually 40 to 50 days, and it usually has at least 30 to 40 episodes.
Well, don't you like the streamlined version? Jeff Probst, as a matter of fact, said today that he is going to keep, they are keeping the 26-day format.
Yeah, but I really like the Australian Je ne sais quoi.
Okay. I mean, it's very interesting. Oh, and by the way, according to Jeff, that was 4 in a row, not 6 in a row.
Gotcha.
Okay, regarding the amount of idols. So.
Well, what about 6 in a pros? See what I did there?
I saw what you did.
I know you did.
I got pros in different area codes.
In this week's Media Pro Report, we have to say goodbye to a really big name from the early days of the game show, and that would be the model known only as Roxanne. She was a model and an assistant on Bud Collier's Beat the Clock and Winner Take All.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow, that's early, early on. I'll also add one. RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Jinx Monsoon had a major role in Doctor Who, playing Maestro, a musical villain.
And she may not be done playing that role. Hint, hint, hint.
All I can say is Maestro.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anyway, back to the media pros. You could ask Boston Rob about Survivor 50, but don't ask him about Deal or No Deal Island. Shaquille O'Neal is getting into the gummy business.
Not those gummies. Regular ones.
Yeah, candies.
Mm-hmm.
The Voice has a star-studded lineup for its finale. The Black Keys, Jelly Roll, Kate Hudson, yes, she can sing,
Lainey Wilson, Mooney Long, Thomas Rhett, and season 25 winner Gina Miles. Kenzie Petty uses Mother Day to announce that she's about to be a mother. Congratulations, Kenzie. We talked about Michael Bublé and Snoop Dogg. We also have to say goodbye, big name in entertainment reporting, Sam Rubin.
Yes. Also a former contestant on the $25,000 Primrose as well.
Mm-hmm. Julie Chen, Moonviz, hints that another celebrity Big Brother is on the way. Bob the Drag Queen mourns his mother on Mother's Day. And when Ken Jennings tells you how to win in Jeopardy, take his advice to heart, according to the Hollywood Outbreak. But none of them are your pro of the week, and it's pretty obvious if you've been paying attention. We haven't mentioned it at the top of the show, and for good reason. Your pro of the week, he gave away over $2 million this week. Howie Mandel.
Only 1% of what should have been given away on the island, according to Jason Block.
True. Well, here's the thing. Not only was he the banker on Deal or No Deal Island, he was also one of the judges on Canada's Got Talent, which just wrapped its season.
Oh, that part too. Okay. By the way, Trish Stratus, she's been a judge for a while on there, hasn't she?
She has.
Good for her.
And by the way,
and those are your pros.
And by the way, congratulations to Rebecca Strong, who won Canada's Got Talent.
Okay.
And
those are your pros.
And that's Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there we go. And I'm bringing in the Super Toilet because we have more shows to flush, push, and or just talk about right after this here on 5 and 1. This was Brain Vision News. We'll be right back with Act 3.
WLTI has been brought to you by The Apprentice Red Lobster. You know, we're talking about all the stuff about, well, I can do this better. What about trying to reinvigorate a dying franchise? What about we do that? Let's really try to make America great again instead of faking about it. That is The Apprentice Red Lobster.
Yeah,
along
the Red
Bailout lovers in you.
Yeah, well, just give it to whoever makes the best Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Dude,
what
okay,
about because Red Lobster is closing 80 of their stores.
50, I believe it was 50.
I'm sorry, 50.
Yeah, the number's 50. Well,
and the thing is, they said they lost like $20 million on like the all you can eat shrimp or some number like that. You could make it work, or maybe if you lower the prices, perhaps, and not pay $20 for a freaking fast food meal these days. Would be nice. Would be nice.
And if you have too much of that, you'll be winding up on the super toilet.
Yes, you would.
Especially if you load up on the Cheddar Bay biscuits.
That's true. But of course, this is our favorite time of the year when we get to push or flush future TV shows. We have five ways of reviewing shows. If we really think the show's going to be good, we push it. We kind of like the show, we patron. If we're in the middle, we piggle it. If we jiggle the handle, we don't really like it. And if we hate it, it's a flush. Three flushes is a clog. Let's go to this one. Number one, May 28th. Bill, thank you. Season 7 of Beach Shazam on Fox, Hulu, and Disney+. The return of Jamie Foxx after illness. Okay. It's a great show. It's not, you know, for me, it's fine. Pastry.
I love this show. Because I love music and I love the competition. And Jamie Foxx, he's fine too. Cannot wait for season 7. I'm going to push it.
I actually agree with Chico. This is my favorite music tool on TV. Much better than Name That Tune. Much better than No Particular Lyrics. It's fun all over the place. Jamie Foxx makes this show push.
Okay. Next one. I believe this is Jay Farrow hosting the show on May 28th. Correct. As well. The Quiz with Balls also on
Good
Fox.
Good night, everybody.
No. This is, you've seen the previews for it. I'm not expecting very good things. Piggle.
Oh, boy. Yeah, Piggle is right. I mean, it's one of those shows that works well on paper. I want to see it in practice, but I am not expecting much.
I'm going to go lower than both of you guys. This reminds me of Hole in the Wall. It is fun for the first 10 minutes, and then it just goes downhill from there, especially if you don't see any variation. And for my friends that are working on the show, I'm sorry, but they're paying me to be honest here. Jibble.
Okay.
But I help them along.
Okay. Next up.
Oh, I'm sorry. May 29th, season 14 on MasterChef. Come on. First of all, MasterChef, in my opinion, is the best Gordon Ramsay franchise, not Hell's Kitchen. Push this hard.
It is the best cookery show on television, I have to say. It is a push.
It is not the best cookery show on television. That clearly goes to Top Chef. But I like the show, Pastry.
Okay. Ooh, okay. Oh, next one.
We can't nudge you in the direction? We can't do that?
Nudge, say no more?
Oh, okay. Okay, fine.
Fine, okay.
Gordon is a party pooper, y'all.
No, the definitive line, there's Top Chef and the Top Chef franchise, and then there's everybody else.
That's fair. That's
right under the line, but
No. We respect that. Next, bell please. I love this. May 29th on the History Channel. Forge in Fire, Instruments of Death.
I'm looking forward to this already. Push.
Oh, I'm pushing this hard just for the title alone. First of all, the Forged in Fire series is very good.
It is very good.
But
solid.
When you're talking about Instruments of Death, you have my attention.
So
push.
Are we actually getting a kill test instead of a keel test this season?
Pretty much, yes.
I'm not going to push the show because of the title, sorry. But I'm going to push it because it's a fantastic series. I cannot wait for the new season. Absolutely push.
So, hit. There we go.
Oh, that felt good. Anyway.
that felt really good. Next one on Food and On. Okay. Season 3 of Out Chefed. Which I have to look up the concept of it before I see
it's
it.
It's Eddie Jackson hosting a Food Network superfan versus a Food Network star in a competition of who can make the best at whatever the challenger is good.
It's sort of like, and they have a panel, and you only need one person on the panel to vote the contestant wins. It's a Food Network competition show, so it's not bad, but it's a Food Network competition show, so
It's also not different.
Pastry minus.
Pastry minus.
It's not as good as a pastry, but it's a little bit better than a pickle, so pastry minus.
You know what? I will plus. Pick your pickle plus. pickle plus. I'm gonna
it's
pickle.
It's not
it.
Just pickle. It's pickle plus.
It's pickle plus.
Oh wow! It's one of our good shows tonight. It's there, pickle.
Oh, this might be one of the best shows we've done in a while.
Next one, please. On May 31st, Celebrity Family Feud battle on Roku. I saw the trailer for this. This looks bad. Jingle.
No jingle. My crap don't jiggle. It flushes.
Yeah, I may want to nudge Jason on this because it really does not look good at all. Flush.
Come on.
Know what? We have not had a clog all season.
Come on.
No,
do
we
it.
Have not.
Do it.
One.
Two.
Three. Plunge! Oh, I felt so bad watching it. Yeah, okay. Took us like three episodes, by the way.
That's just a testament to people actually making decent shows for a change.
Well, not this one. June 3rd on NZP and NBC and Peacock. Hit it, please.
That would be...
Bell, please.
I have too many... I got too many buttons on my stream.
Season 16 of American Ninja Warrior. This has the same problem that America's Got Talent does. It's got big production, and no one gives an absolute rat's behind about it. Flush.
I'm going to piggle it. Because, again, I grew up watching this show, and I thoroughly enjoy it. But I'm wanting to see something new. Like Jason here.
I want to see something new.
I want to see something new. Show me the Flash. Piggle.
I'm going to agree with Chico on this one. It's serviceable enough. Pickle Plus.
Pickle. Okay. Next one. I'm sorry. I have to get back to the list here. Perfect Match Season 2 on Netflix.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Why did this show get renewed? It is a flush for me.
This is just yuck. Flush. Because and Nick Lachey, and of course, this is like you're mixing people from Love is Blind, the ultimatum, Too Hot to Handle. Oh dear God,
it's, you know how much hormones is gonna be in that room? Way too much. It is
flush.
Too much.
Are we gonna get a double clog this one? Are we?
You've actually found the one household where people in this household actually like watching that show.
What?
However, I am not one of those people in the household.
Oh, good! Thank God!
One.
Two.
Three.
Three plus. Thank you.
So much flogging.
Thank God. We won't be flushing this one. At least I know I won't be. This is the debut of a show called Beat the Bridge.
Yes. Cameron Matheson hosts the American version of Bridge of Lies. It's on Game Show Network. It's coming June 10th. I forgot to hit the bell. There's the bell. I cannot wait for it. It is a push.
Well,
rip the Band-Aid off, Jay, because if you don't, I will.
I'm not going to push this at all, actually. I'm going to piggle this because I'm just like, really? And again, it's the same. It's got the same problem that Food Network has. That's all. Piggle.
Yeah, I want to be proven wrong on this one. I have a feeling I'm not. I'm going to agree with Jay. I think it's going to be harmless fluff, but I'm going to throw it in the category like Squish. I think it'll be harmless, but I don't see any reason why this is going to go over a pickle for me. So pickle.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's fair.
Yeah. So, but that's it. That's this week's Super Toilet. I have to clean it up. Finally. How many more rounds do we have? One more or two more?
One, maybe two more, but we're definitely going to put a big dent in this next week. But in the meantime, we're going to put a dent in this program with the big finish, the speed round. That's coming up on the other side of this here on We Love to Interrupt on 5&1. We'll be right back. WLTI has been presented by Bank of Mandel, endorsing Deal or No Deal Island checks since about 2 or 3 months from ago. That's Bank of Mandel. You may not get the $200 million you're looking for,
But hey, a million, 1.3 million is just as good.
No, it's not. It's called bait and switch. It's a bait and switch. I mean, okay. On that note,
Howie Mandel is the master banker, then it would be a master bait and switch.
Good night, everybody.
Speed round. Now, Survivor, who wins?
Charlie.
I think Charlie.
If he doesn't make a mistake, it's Charlie, but do not be surprised if Kenzie throws a wrench in it, but to me, looks like it's Charlie's to lose. Amazing Race.
My dark horse would not be Kenzie, it would be Liz.
That's right. That's my dark horse, too. Yep. So,
with Amazing Race.
Is it Ricky and Cesar's to lose?
It is Ricky and Cesar's to lose.
Oh, it's definitely theirs to lose. I can see them losing it because we're now getting to that part where you need your brain. And as much brawny as they've been, which they have been, that seems to be the problem. I could see an upset here. I really could. Will we? We'll find out, but I can see it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Jeopardy Masters. Who wins?
I'm going with Victoria Groach.
I'm also going with. You know what? I'm not saying this as I'm saying this as an objective observer. This tournament is victorious to win.
I'm not sure about victorious to win. I will say this: she's been putting on a clinic.
It's been incredible to watch. Because right now we have the final four, right? It's James, Yogesh.
James, Amy, Yogesh, and Victoria.
If we get the final that I think we're going to get, which is Yogesh, Amy, and Victoria, hot damn, okay? Just say it, okay? And the fact is that we've got some new blood on Jeopardy Masters, which, of course, we love to see, okay? We definitely love to see. So Wheel of Fortune, we're still not getting $1 million winner, right?
Nope. And we have what? Three more weeks.
June 7th is his last day, which is, I'm looking, it's just like three weeks from Friday. Right. And then we can do the first season end review. But you know what? I have mail.
Ooh. Okay.
And this is from our good friend Doug Morris, actually.
The voice of Brain Vision.
Correct. He responded to the news that the Golden Bachelorette is going to be Joan Vassos from The Golden Bachelor. He wrote, and I quote, "If this doesn't work, forget The Golden Bachelor as a series. My hunch was Jerry was better off turning to a matchmaking service than the Bachelor franchise, and my hunch is proving accurate. Yeah, there was a joyous wedding, but the big D, meaning divorce, followed 3 months later. Nice job, Bachelor franchise. The production team needs to keep Joan's heart top of mind. She's widowed, after all." And then he put out, "This widower will tell you the widowed are fragile by nature and need to be handled with care." And I agree with him 1,000%.
I also agree with him.
And also, I am a little worried that they may not.
Yeah, because I get this feeling in the pit of my soul, and I'm sure you have the same feeling that I have, Jay, is that, yes, we're not looking to make a good love match. We're looking to make good television. And that has been sort of the governing rule of The Bachelor since its inception back in 2002. And if we find a good love match, well, great. But we're really just making good television here.
Correct. Okay.
And that's what breaks my heart. because
it does.
Joan deserves all of the happiness she can find.
Mm-hmm. Gordon, do you have anything to say about that or no?
No.
Okay. Do we have any other mail or no?
That's it. But if you want to send us some, our address is WLTIGameshowNews.com. My address, follow us on all social media. I know how to do this. Follow us on all social media at 5N1. That's the number 5ANDONENET. Follow me at Dino R. Alexander.
Oh, I am at Beat the Block, the number 2.
And I am CSNN Haterade.
And of course,
the network is 5N1.
Yeah. 5N1, that's the number 5ANDONENET, and of course us at Game Show News Net. But let's plug some stuff that we've got coming down the pike, including what we're about to talk about tomorrow, because Jay, I don't know if you know this, but you and I have a date week 10, I want to say.
Okay. Well, yeah, let's hope our teams are in contention. All 32 teams are going back wano crazy with their scheduling videos now. It's nuts. It's crazy.
It is crazy. We're going to talk about the best and the worst and the craziest. And, of course, all of the news as we get set for training camp. As the summer begins on the BS Big Show. And that is coming up with myself and Jay.
BRM. And I believe Ian a little bit, I think.
I believe Ian a little bit, too. And that's coming up tomorrow.
Yes.
And Friday, which is what y'all usually do on Friday, Jay.
Friday or Saturday, we are doing the NAWC. As the road to the King and Queen of the Ring is happening, the road to Double or Nothing is happening. And we also based back on the BS for a second. We need to talk about the huge news about the schedule and a certain streaming service covering it.
I'll give you a hint. It is not Prime Video.
No. Ho, ho, Netflix. You'll find out more tomorrow. And of course we'll be talking about certain injuries, and certain things that are happening as we're heading towards King and Queen of the Ring. Gordon, how is the UBA doing?
UBA is doing good. We have tour stop number 11 coming up this weekend before we take a break due to the Memorial Day holiday. And then we really get it into gear.
And, of course, Battle Bowl is in, and we're going to promote this every week, 2 locations this year, correct?
Delaware, San Antonio? And I don't know where I'm going. I don't go somewhere.
Have you ever been to Texas?
I have been to Texas, but on a layover. So I'm really excited if I do wind up going there. I'm going to be really excited about it.
You got to have at least one good steak meal in Texas. You have to. At least one.
That's what Texas is known for.
Yes, they are. But, and of course, Chico, it was a thing, right? What do we got going?
Still in the middle of pilot month. We just dropped on Monday an episode about Let's Get Personal, the 1982 pilot featuring Chuck Woolery, Tim Stack, Sally Julian, Larry Anderson, the certified goat of the unaired pilot game show, Jack Campion. And it gets weird.
Okay.
And Thursday, our pilot month continues with another game show, but it's not the one that we wanted to cover, but it is a game show. And there's actually a story of how it managed to survive post-pilot.
Okay.
So that's coming up on Thursday. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And next week, what are we doing next week? Oh, yeah, it's the end of the season. We're going over all the the things. We're talking about Survivor. We're going to break in with the winner of that when that is announced. We're going to talk about the final leg of The Amazing Race. We're going to talk about Jeopardy Masters. We're going to talk about the first leg of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. And all the news that happens in the next 7 days. And there's going to be a whole lot because we're closing everything up for the summer here on The World's Strongest.
We're not taking off. We're not taking off.
No, we're not taking off. We're just closing everything up for the season.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, certain things are heading off. Lots of changes going on. And, you know, we're about 6 weeks away from the biggest stories of 2024 so far. Can you believe half the year's almost over already? Insane.
That's crazy talk.
But we do have to watch about something else. Remember, the network code contract.
Uh-huh. We're not done with that, although we are close to a resolution than we were at the beginning of this year, I hope. Anyway, for Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, for everybody at 5&1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up, and we thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
Can I?